Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Leanne.
This morning, I want to share with you a passage that I think is very important for everybody to take note of. Some people say that as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, the Old Testament is not relevant because it refers to the law and the way things were that time. I've never felt that way myself because it reveals to us how God handles things. It reveals to us how God relates to mankind. It teaches us many very important principles pertaining to the kingdom of God, and it opens our eyes to a lot of things. And this morning I want to share with you something that comes from the book of Joshua. You know, God told Joshua that if he remains in the Word and the Word remains in him, he will always prosper. Amen?
Amen.
Tell me something. Has that ever changed?
No.
Can we still today say that if I remain in the Word and the Word remains in Him and I do not deviate from it, I will prosper?
Yes.
Yes, you will. I'm going to read to you from the book of Joshua chapter 7. But just before I start chapter 7, I want to read the final verse of Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua chapter 6, if you go and look at your Bible, is where the Israelites invaded Jericho. Just a quick recap. Jericho was a very fortified city and it had a reputation that it was impenetrable. It had never ever been conquered. It had often been besieged, but it had never been conquered. And it was a fierce city. There were fierce warriors living there. And God sent the Israelites to go and destroy that city. Sometimes God expects you to do what has never been done before. Have you ever figured that out?
Yeah.
Because God has equipped you to do exactly that. And, you know, even though it sometimes sounds maybe too big for us, maybe it's a bit weird for us, because God is in your life, nothing is impossible. And so by the grace of God and through a divine miracle, the Israelites actually conquered the city. And then right at the end, the Bible says in verse 27, so the Lord was with Joshua and his fame spread throughout the land. I want you to focus on one thing. The Lord was with Joshua. Joshua was called to be a warrior. He was anointed. He was ordained to be a warrior, to be a leader. And we know when we look at the story of Jericho that he was in fact blessed of God. Amen?
Amen?
Right, let's read the very next story that comes up. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zerai, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. And so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and he told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went and they spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all of the people will have to go up against Ai. Send only 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. And so about 3,000 men went up, and they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gates as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same. and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, Sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver them into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us, and they will wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua. Okay, so Joshua was having a pity party. This is how God responds. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things, and they have stolen. They have lied, and they have put them in their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their back and run because they have been made liable for destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever is amongst you that is devoted to destruction." Okay. You must now understand this is a very big deal, because Israel was sent by God. One of the first, actually the first city that they destroyed was a city called Jericho, which had a reputation that it was impenetrable, that it was indestructible. And God sent them there to prove to them that for God or for them with God, nothing would be impossible. You all know the story. Instead of really fighting, they walked around the city once a day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they walked around the gates, the city 7 times. And on the seventh time, they blew their trumpets and the walls came crashing down. The people were thrown into chaos and disarray. And the Israelites had the easiest victory that they ever had. In other words, they have just seen the power of God move. They have just seen how easy God can destroy the enemy if God wants.
Amen.
Now, they come off the back of this massive victory. And now, the Lord sends them to the next place to go to, which was a place called Ai. In comparison with Jericho, it was like comparing Johannesburg with Pitsonavater. You probably don't know where that is, neither do I, but it's like this tiny little dot on the map. And so they go, Joshua, before he goes to invade them, like a good leader, he says to some of his spies, "Go and check out these people. Let's see who they are. Let's see what they have to fight with. And then we determine from there what strategy we are going to use." So these spies go out and they come back and they're all very blasé about the whole thing. They're like, "Oh, you know what? These people are a pushover. You know, after the victory that we've just had, we don't even have to send our entire army." You know, the Israelites had hundreds of thousands of fighting men. They say, "You know what? Let's only send 3,000 men. Because there's only a handful," listen to this, "a handful of fighting men there." Now, this is still going to be a walkover because we're sending 3,000 men against a couple of hundred. The odds are in whose favor? Well, the odds must be in the Israelites' favor because they're still going to outnumber these people like 1,000 to 1 or a couple of 100 to 1. So Joshua says, "No problem." Why should he feel any different? He's just seen the power of God. Supernaturally, divinely, God gave them the hand of the enemy. He's got the same fighting men. Surely everything is going to be okay. Plus, he's outnumbering the enemy like 100 to 1. Everything is going to be fine. And then the proverbial pawpaw hits the fan. Because you see, they get to Ai. And instead of, as in the case of Jericho, they strike the first man down and there's chaos and disarray, and the next moment there is victory, without them realizing, they've just entered into the lion's den, if you like. Because the enemy comes out at them, and in seconds, 36 Israelites are dead. Not one of the enemy is dead. And the same people that just conquered Jericho, who stood there with their chests out and their heads held high, all excited and blessed, like, "We are mighty warriors. God is for us, not against us." Those same men suddenly felt their legs turn to jelly, like, and the next moment they turned and they ran. And to add insult to injury, the men of Ai pursued them and slaughtered them on the slopes. What a disgrace. What a humiliation. The same people that just pulled off the greatest victory in the known world at that point in time just had the biggest defeat ever. Because a handful of Ai's fighting men put an army of 3,000 to shame. They caused them to flee and they brought fear into their hearts. Now, Joshua hears this and he's like, what? This is impossible, but he knows enough to know something went wrong. And he falls on his face. Now, I think the reason why God was a bit harsh on him is because, listen to what he says. He says, oh, Lord, why did you bring us over the Jordan just so that we can be slaughtered? That's God's problem. It's God's fault. And while he's lying there and he's complaining and he's crying and whatever, God speaks to him. He says, hey, 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 stop your nonsense. Stop crying. Get up. Let me tell you what the problem is. Israel have sinned. Israel has done something which I expressly commanded them not to do. Okay, let's look at it. Verse 13, go and consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted amongst you, O Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord shall come forward, the tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes shall come forward family by family, and the family that the Lord takes shall come forward man by man. He who is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by the fire. He has violated the covenant of the Lord, and he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by their tribes, and Judah was taken. The clan of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites, something like that. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by their families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him praise. Tell me, what have you done? Do not hide it from me. Okay. Here's what happens. God speaks to Joshua. He says to him, tomorrow, this is what's going to happen. Somebody has done something that I expressly commanded them not to do. Somebody was disobedient. Somebody violated my word. I am going to expose who has done this thing. The first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to call all 12 of the tribes. In other words, the entire multitude of Israel will stand before God. They will be divided into their tribes. Then I will point out which tribe is responsible. So in other words, there's 12 tribes. I wasn't there, but I can think how God did it. You is not you. You can go. 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 And it gets closer and closer and closer to the tribe. Eventually, there is one tribe left. Ah, the problem is with this tribe. Now, in this tribe are many clans. Once again, God starts and he says, this clan is not you. You can go. This clan is not you. You can go. What I want you to see is, Achan knew what he did. He had plenty opportunity to come forward and say, guys, this is not necessary. I'm the one. But he never did. You see, it's amazing how sometimes God puts his finger on it and we still like, it reminds me of that song. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. You know, I want to tell you something that works with people. It doesn't work with God. Because God knows and God sees. Now here's Achan. He's standing there and he sees what's happening. At first there was a couple of million people. Then there's a couple of 100,000 people. Then there's a couple of 1,000 people. And everything, the noose is tightening and tightening. And the one person that is common to all of this is him. Then when all the clans have been dealt with, the families in the one clan are now dealt with. Let's say there was 1,000 families. How do I know? Maybe there was 500 families. Again, this family, the Fanamavis, is not you. The Texeras is not you.
Oh my God.
The Ferreras is not you. The Pochenpools is not you. And one by one, God releases them. Now here's the thing. Now Eichen is standing there. He's clever enough to steal, then he must be clever enough to figure out what's happening here. The noose is tightening and tightening and tightening. Eventually, there's two families left. Don't tell me by now he hasn't seen exactly what is going on. Yet he stubbornly refuses to come forward and say, stop, it's not necessary, it's me. And then there is only one family left, and he is the head of that family. Now everybody knows who did it. And Joshua comes walking up to him, and this is what he says to him. He says to him, Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to God. Now, in the original translations, that is also translated as confess to God what you have done. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me. He's been hiding it and hiding it and hiding it. Now you must understand, for God to go through this entire process probably took the entire day. Because we're talking about millions of people that God sifted through. He had so much opportunity to come before God and say, I'm sorry. You know, this is what the Bible says. Confess your sins before God. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The problem with Achan was he didn't want to confess nothing to nobody. According to him, if nobody saw it, it doesn't bother nobody. Why must I deal with it? In fact, why must I come before all of these people and confess anything? It's got nothing to do with nobody. This is my stuff. Well, you see, it didn't work that way. Because here's the thing. What he did not just affect him, it affected everybody. Israel suffered a humiliating defeat because of him. Israel was now without a large number of fighting men. There was a whole bunch of families grieving because their husbands, their fathers did not come home because of him. So what he did was no longer personal. What he did was now impacting everybody around him. And God gave him, here's the grace of God. God gave him time and time again, another chance, sort it out. And I can tell you now, the Holy Spirit was pricking his heart. God was speaking to him through what was happening. Deal with it. You know, there is a scripture in the Bible that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, Achan had lots of opportunity to seek God. He has lots of opportunity to repent before God, to go before God and say, Lord, I've messed up. I've wronged you. I'm sorry. I apologize to the people who died on the battlefield and the families that are left over. Please forgive me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Not once did he do it. And in that, he sealed his own fate. His stubbornness, his unwillingness to humble himself, his unrepented heart sealed the fate for him and his family. Let's look at the rest. Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I covered them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside of my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all of Israel, took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, and the gold wedge, his sons, his daughters, his cattle, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble onto us? The Lord will bring trouble on you this day." Then all of Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger, and therefore the place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Okay. This is serious stuff. When the Israelites went into the promised land, God gave a command. The silver and the gold that belong to these people will not be taken by any man. Whatever belong to those people are committed and dedicated to their gods, and therefore none of my children will lay a finger on it. It belongs to me. It had to be consecrated to God. It was a simple instruction. It wasn't difficult. Now here's Achan. They are there. They are busy fighting. There is turmoil. Nobody sees him. And you know what? Jericho was a insanely wealthy city, which is why they could build such a big wall and protect themselves, because they were opulent. They had a lot of money. There was silver and gold everywhere. So Achan reasoned, as we sometimes do, what's the worst that can happen? Some really bad things can happen. Because you know what? If I take the total that he took, the silver weighed 2.3 kilograms. The gold that he took weighed 600 grams. It's not a fortune. Listen to me. It's not like he took Fort Knox. It's not like he took enough to take care of the rest of his life. You know what? Even in today's age, how long is 500 grams of silver gold gonna last me? It might take me through 1 year. Well, looking at the petrol price, it might take me through 6 months. It's not gonna last very long. This man was playing with his life and the life of his family for what could be considered to be peanuts. It really wasn't a lot of money. I mean, he could put what he took in his two pockets and he could walk away with it. How much is it? It's not a lot. So, he took all this. His reasoning was probably, you know what? Who's gonna miss this bit? And let's be honest, there's merit to what he says. In that whole city, there must have been tons and tons and tons. Let's say there was 50 tons of gold. Then Achan probably took 0.0001% of the gold. I mean, it's not a lot. And it shouldn't bother God, should it? Well, it's not about the amount. It's about the attitude of the heart. You see, God wants obedience from his people. And that's how the devil sometimes makes us reason. Ah, it's not a big deal. Ah, it's not that bad. To Achan, it was a small thing. To God, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
Now, this story is not so much about silver and gold as it is about how God feels about us when we refuse to deal with stuff. Here's the thing. Achan messed up. I'm sure God wasn't floored by his disobedience, because man tends to be disobedient. But God expected him to make right. And God gave him a full day to make right. God exposed him little by little by little. And all the time, and I can tell you now, if at any time he came forward and he said, "It's me," it would have been different.
Yes.
But he never did. He had this attitude that, you know what? Why should I say sorry for something that's not a big problem? That's not a big deal. God shouldn't miss it. He's got plenty. That's just a little bit. And in fact, you know what? I put my life on the line. I went and fought for my family and for my country. And you know what? That's like my pension plan. It's like, this is for me. Well, he didn't need a pension plan, because death came quickly.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your life and my life. Let's talk about us. How many times have we got things in our life that to us is a small thing, but if we could get God's perspective on it, it is actually a big thing. You know, a lot of people don't understand, but God's perspective on a problem and your and my perspective on a problem is not the same. You know, things that to us is not a problem, is not an issue, to God can curse a nation. Because that's exactly what happened. Because of what one man did, a nation suffered God's wrath. Now think about it. Then for God, this must have been a very, very, very big deal. Sometimes God speaks to us about certain things in our life. He can speak through His word. He can speak through a sermon. He can speak to you in a dream. He can speak to you in a vision. He can speak to you directly. God has got many ways that He speaks. The Bible says, for God does speak now one way, now another. And all of us know when God speaks. Something in your heart touches you and tells you God is speaking to you. And how many times when we hear the voice of God, or we hear the word of God, we have the same attitude as Achan. You know what? It's not such a big deal. I want to tell you, how many times do I sit in counseling with people? Then I talk to them about certain things that come up, and then their attitude towards me is, but it's not a problem. It's not like that. It's not a big deal. My friend, let's call a spade a spade. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And with an attitude like that, you are not going to go far. What God wants is humbleness, humility. What God wants is obedience. What God wants is a willingness to change. And a lot of people will change in some areas, but they will not change in other areas. Some people will confess one thing to God, but they will not confess another thing to God, because according to them, the other thing is not a problem. God must be happy that I'm in His kingdom. Hey, I mean, I'm serving Him. Well, God wants more than just the fact that you serve Him. Achan also served God. He was a child of God, but he wasn't obedient and he wasn't humble. He was a liar and a thief, and he was unrepentant in his heart. According to him, he did nothing wrong. That's why he didn't come forward. He did not come forward mainly because he didn't want his name to go down the toilet. He was convinced, I did nothing wrong. What do you mean it's a problem that I took a tiny little bit of gold and a bit of silver? I mean, come on. I deserve that. Well, my friend, he learned the hard way that you don't mess with God. And that when God expects you to do something, you have to do it. Now, I want to focus on something very, very important. When Joshua was lying on the floor, sobbing, crying his eyes out, asking God, why did you bring us across the Jordan just to destroy us? Joshua was also a little bit concerned about his own reputation, because he was the head of Israel, and under his leadership, boom, things failed miserably. He was also feeling a bit sorry for himself. Now, God spoke to him and God said this, listen to this. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies, and why they turn their backs and run. They have been made liable for destruction. What was it that caused the Israelites to not be able to conquer their enemies? Disobedience, rebellion, an unrepented heart. An attitude that is not a problem, is not a big deal. I'll sort it out later, not now. Why is this important? Because we all have enemies. Now, I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm not talking about your mother-in-law. I'm not talking about your boss. Every one of us has some devil or some demon or some spirit that is coming after us right now. The Bible says in the New Testament, our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the power, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now, we are commanded to engage the enemy in warfare, and God wants to give us victory. Can we all agree on that? Now, here's the question. Why do some people never get victory? Well, this is one of the reasons. Listen to what God says. This is God speaking. This is not me. He says, that is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. If you have the same heart as Achan, if you have the same attitude as Achan, if your attitude is, I'll sort it out later. I don't care. It's not a big deal. What do you mean? What are you complaining about? There's people that do worse things than me. You will be like Achan. You will not be able to stand against your enemies. In fact, many times God himself will hand you over to your enemies. I want you to listen to me carefully. For a handful of warriors from Ai to bring destruction on an army of 3,000 from Israel, only God could have done that. In other words, the same power that was on Israel to destroy Jericho now left Israel and sat on Ai to come against Israel. If our attitude is not right, if our heart is not right, sometimes God will use our enemies to show us. Why did this happen? Israel lost the battle for them to see in a practical way the Spirit of God is no longer with them. Now that's a scary thought. The glory of God has departed from them. In fact, the glory of God is now on the enemy, which is like a really, really, really scary thought. But that actually happened. But it was to show them there is a problem. And Joshua, even though he was a little bit off in the way he reacted, at least he understood. The moment he heard what happened, he knew we got problems. He fell on his face and he commanded the whole of Israel to do the same. And they were crying out before God, Lord, please, we don't know what the story is, but something is wrong. It's time for us to sort this out. And then God began to show where the problem lay. You know, I don't know you and I don't know your life. I don't know where you are in your walk with God because that's something quite personal. But I want to say to you that it is very possible that there are areas in your life where God has spoken to you many times. And many times when God speaks to you, you take it with like a bit of a pinch of salt. It's like, yeah, all right, I hear that, but you know, it's not that serious. It's not that bad. I honestly don't think it's a problem. Let me ask you something. Whose opinion matters more? God's or yours? The devil's or yours?
Mine.
No, actually the devil's. When it comes to stuff like this, if the devil says, I have power through what you do, and you say, no, you don't, the devil's opinion matters more. Because both God and the devil see things that we don't see. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes we have these things in our life. Like Achan. We put it under the bed. He was hiding it under the bed. He was hiding it in the closet. If we can put it in that way. And the fact is, to him it was fine. It was not a big deal. It didn't affect his wife. It didn't affect his children. But it did. Because of what he did, a curse came upon the entire Israelite nation. And the curse eventually took him, his wife, his children, his cattle, his donkeys, everything that belonged to him. Because God's judgment upon him for that was the entire family was stoned. You know, sometimes we don't realize, but the things that we don't deal with affect our children. And we don't have to sit with that. We live in a dispensation where we can actually confront these things and we can actually deal with it. But you have to want to deal with it. And you must stop having an attitude with God. It's not such a big deal. When the Word of God says it's not this way, don't do it that way. When the Word of God says do it this way, then do it that way. I've heard a lot of very ingenious arguments as to why this is not so and why that is not so. I don't care about your argument. The Word of God is truth. I want to say to you again, when God spoke to the Israelites and he said, don't take the silver, don't take the gold, God meant what he said. It wasn't difficult. It was simple. But Achan began to reason. Oh, I mustn't take it. Why? I mean, for goodness sakes, they're going to melt it and it's going to lie there in the temple somewhere. God can't do nothing with it. I mean, God's got plenty. He's not going to miss it. Probably if I leave it there, Joshua one day is just going to build a house 10 times bigger than mine. I mean, he's already got too much. I can have a bit of that. It's amazing how the devil gets your mind to go into certain directions. But ultimately, the devil has only one purpose. He wants to destroy your life. The one you should be listening to is God. God speaks through his word. And God wants us to deal with things. You know, this morning I was talking to my team just before we came up here. Sometimes God can be a bit harsh. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. From our point of view, it can sometimes be a bit harsh. But God has our best interests at heart. You know, how many of you have got kids? If your two-year-old plays with a knife, and your attitude is, how cute is that? Then you need serious adjustment in your parental abilities. Because it's a problem. You can't make like it's cute and it's nice, because if they fall in that knife, they're dead. So you're going to have to take it away. And if they do it again, you're probably going to have to give them a hiding. And they might not like the hiding they're getting, but it will teach them that in the future, they better not go there and they better not do that. God gives hidings. Let me ask you a question. How many Achans do you read of in the Bible? Only one. Why? Because after what happened to him, another one never tried his luck. Come on, be honest. Nobody ever tried to do this again because they learned from what happened. Yeah. So did it work? Yes, it did. Was there method in what God did? Yes, there was. Because God is a father and he cares for us. And sometimes he has to be harsh on us to get us away from the rubbish. We find a similar story in Jonah. You remember the story of Jonah, right? Jonah was a prophet of God. I think all prophets like to prophesy good things. But prophets aren't always called to prophesy good things. Sometimes they're called to prophesy doom and gloom and destruction. And so Jonah was minding his own business, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and God spoke to him, and he said, go to Nineveh and prophesy to them that I'm going to destroy them completely. How many of you know that that doesn't make you popular? And Jonah probably sat there thinking to himself, man, this is not going to be good for my social life. I mean, nobody's going to want to hang around me. No, I can't do this. Oh, everybody's going to hate me. And he tried to run away. Well, as they say in the Bible, where can you run to hide from God? You can't run nowhere. He went on a ship. God sank the ship. He fell in the ocean. God sent a fish to swallow him.
Oh, my goodness.
And God was showing him, you do what I say. You work for me, you do what I say. Yes. It's not what you want, it's what I want. Go talk to these people and tell them what I said. And he went and he prophesied. And he prophesied to the king of Nineveh, and he prophesied doom and gloom and destruction. And you know, the interesting thing is, the king of Nineveh, instead of saying, take this man, chop his head off, roast him slowly on a spit or something like that, the king of Nineveh listened to this and he thought, man, I'm in the dwang here. I better do something. Instead of turning against this man of God, instead of turning against God, instead of ridiculing this whole process, he fell on his knees, he put sackcloth and ashes on him, and he commanded a week-long fast. And he said to his people, let's show God that we are sorry. And do you know what God did? Is one of the very few places that you can find that God changed his mind. Why did God change his mind? Because of the way they reacted to the discipline. They did not rebel against God. They did not curse and swear and kill God's prophet. They humbled themselves. When the opportunity came to say sorry, they were quick to say sorry to God.
Amen.
And they showed God true repentance from their hearts. And guess what? Even though God said, I will destroy you, God ended up blessing them. Achan could have had exactly the same thing. If God has done it before, God would have done it again. Achan could have gone on his knees and said, Lord, I'm sorry. And everything would have been fine. Because God does sometimes change his mind. But he didn't. Let's talk about your life. My life. Our life. How many things is there in your life that God has been talking to you about for quite a while? I don't know. How many things has God pricked your heart about that you realize you have to do something about it, but you keep postponing it? You know what? I'll sort it out next year. This is not a good year for me. You know, the moon and Saturn and whatever are not in alignment, and therefore, no, okay, you guys don't read your stars. I'm glad. Don't. It's Kokai. But we can come up with a lot of weird reasons why it's not a good time to do this now. We don't have to deal with this now. Listen to me carefully. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because like Achan, tomorrow you might not be around. How many of you want your family to be blessed?
Amen.
Well, I can tell you now, Achan with his mouth would have said, I want my family to be blessed. But with his actions, he cursed them. And we must understand, as a father, as a mother, the things we do can sometimes have serious complications for our siblings, our descendants. You know, some curses can run 10 generations until somebody decides to get out from under it. But why would we impose such a harsh reality on the people that we love if we can deal with it now? Achan, to him, chose not to listen. He paid the ultimate price. The curse destroyed him. His family name ceased that day.
Yeah.
His family name was wiped off the face of the earth.
Oh, God.
Is that serious? Yes, it is. How many of us, getting back to what God said, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever amongst you is devoted to destruction. Achan tried to hide, cover up certain things in his life. And God said, because of that, I will no longer bless you with victory. Is there anybody in this place that wants victory?
Yes.
Is there anybody in this place that wants to defeat the enemy?
Yes.
Then I want to give you some wise words from the Bible. Until you come to the place that you are willing to deal with your nonsense, stop postponing it until tomorrow. Stop thinking, oh, but it's not that bad. And really just say, Lord, I want to bless you. I want to be the best person I can be for you. And therefore, if this thing bothers you, it must go. That attitude will cause God's blessing to be upon your life. That attitude will guarantee you victory over your enemies. Because every single person sitting here has a couple of demons on their tail right now. For some of you, it's the spirit of debt. For some of you, it's the spirit of lust. For some of you, it's the spirit of fear, the spirit of rejection, the spirit of anger, the spirit of poverty, the spirit of destruction. It could be a lot of things. And you want God, you expect God to give you victory over these things. Well, kick the stuff out from under your bed. The stuff that you've been hiding there, the stuff that you say, ah, it's not the right time to deal with it. Why is it not the right time to deal with it? Now is the right time to deal with it. Today. The Bible says today when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Today is a good day. Today is a good day to say to the Lord, Lord, you know what? My attitude is sometimes not good. I'm full of doubt. I'm full of fear. I'm full of anger. I'm full of hatred. I'm full of bitterness. I give it different names and I package it differently, but I realize this is what it is. And Lord, I'm sorry, but I have this attitude that is not, who's it hurting? Well, it's hurting God and it's hurting you because it gives the devil place. And you know what? When we come before God with the right attitude, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Everybody wants victory over their enemies, but not everybody is guaranteed victory over their enemies. And I want to say something to you. Just saying, oh, but you know what? I'm a child of God, so I should be victorious. Well, this story shows us many times you won't be victorious because of your attitude, because of your heart, because of what you've swept under the carpet. If it's time to sort something out, sort it out. If it's time to let something go, let it go. If it's time to change your attitude, change your attitude. If it's time to repent, repent. And God will bless you.
Amen.
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 Did anybody learn something?
Oh, amen. Give the Lord a hand.